church trauma, spiritual shaming, and abuse of scripture. You can take scripture and make it say whatever you want to say. And they take scriptures out of context and twist it to make people feel shamed for what they're going through. You shouldn't be going through that. If you're going through that, and I just heard someone this week, one of the most famous women now, preachers, it has been for a while, getting old now, but if it's not working for you, if the word's not working for you, you have unforgiveness. You haven't prayed hard enough. I want to ask you, how do you pray hard? How am I supposed to pray hard? Or you haven't given enough. If you have, you've got to check yourself, because these areas, because if the word isn't working, it's like the word, the way they use it, is a magical genie. Yeah. I want you to know, in the world you're going to have tribulation. Mm-hmm. Your outward man is perishing, but your inward man's is renewed day by day. These people have medical problems just like you, but they pretend they don't. They go under secret names. I know this firsthand. They go in hospitals. They don't want anyone to know that they've had blah, 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 blah. That is being a hypocrite and a liar. Yep. When they can't share their problems that they're going through and have you relate to them, they're above you. They're like the Nicolaitans, top-down, authoritative. Church shaming and abuse of scripture. They make people shamed for what they're going through. The worst place to get help for a divorce is in church. Because if you get divorced, my God, you're full of the devil. And if you're with an abusive husband, they just say, pray more. Read this book. Feed him. Don't talk about it. And they make things so much worse. Or if you're going through an illness, they don't want to hear about it, because then now you're representing something that they don't want to deal with. Because their reality is their formula. And you're saying now that you're sick. Well, don't bring that here. You get up in the prayer line and get your healing, because we don't want to deal with you. If you're ill, you don't fit with our program. Or if you're divorced, or if you've got children that are rebellious, well, then there's something wrong that you did. It's all this shaming in a place that we're supposed to be comforted, in a place that we're supposed to help each other get through storms. You don't get help. You don't get help. You get abuse. The shaming is a painful feeling of humiliation. And it's amazing. If you've been shamed, you have to be really careful, because now you've learned what you don't like. But many people, because of being shamed, they don't realize they're shaming others. Because that's all you know is shame, being put down. So then you have to feel better than them. You have to feel up and above, and then you shame those other people. It's like a cycle. You just have to say, I don't have to be right. I don't have to be the smartest person in the room. I don't have to shame anyone. I don't have to feel better than you. We're all the same size. The blood of Jesus made us all the same size. But this shaming is humiliating. It's dishonoring. You dishonor. And they dishonor. They don't allow you to say what you're going through. Prayer requests have to be positive. Everything has to be positive. And then they embarrass you. Many preachers use you as an example, and they humiliate you right in front of everyone. Oh, that I could tell you lots of stories about that. So again, sounds like these formulas don't work because you have unforgiveness. You're not praying hard enough. You're not giving enough. And there's no empathy. If you cannot go to your leader, friend, whatever, and they don't have compassion and love, you're in the wrong place. Jesus was moved with compassion. Yeah, he had boundaries, but he also cared. And some of these people, they have no... I've heard preachers say, I don't like people. So you know what I say? You're in the wrong business. You know? But a lot of these narcs couldn't get a job anywhere else. They couldn't. They're not educated. They have no skills of other things, so this is what they do. Today, we're talking, or we are in church systems that use people They manipulate followers and to fuel them for their vision. I used to sit under a person for 28 years. It was all about their vision. And other people would come with, you know, you preach about vision, so it should also, you should care about, oh no, we don't care about your vision. It's the leader's vision. And you have to fit in with that. That is such a wolf. Woof, woof. We have Christian soldiers who've been used up, chewed up, spit out by self-serving leaders, discarded by those we trusted, then ignored, shunned by our Christian brothers and sisters. If you're going through something, the people in the church end up taking on the spirit of the leader, and they don't care either. If someone's hurting, you should bring food over to them, do something. But oh no, if you're sick, there's something wrong with you. We're gonna shun you because you're not following the formulas. And then what happens? You feel erased. How you think and feel isn't even considered. Now, trauma can come from a lot of different things. It can come from your sin or someone else's. And then we mask and we deny. We don't want to face it. You have to face problems, because if you go into denial, it doesn't fix it. For years, I dealt with things by trying to deny. Because when you come out of denial, you got to deal with that thing. When you come out of denial, you got to deal with that narcissistic husband or wife. You got to deal with that narcissistic pastor or that politician. But if you just live in this la-la land, you never deal with it. But there comes a day you have to take the mask off. And you have to deal with it. In abusive families, churches, and businesses. Because this is the problem. If you point out the problem to an abusive leader, you are now the problem. You have become the problem. You can't talk about problems. You can't talk about hurts. You can't talk about abuses. Victims is at fault for trying to get help. How sad is that? That we can't get church help. Most people go to a bar and tell their bartender, and they'll listen more than some of the people. And I'm not condoning that at all, but I'm just saying, isn't that sad? That they absolutely get no help from church. Exiting a spiritual abusive church is a painful process. What people have been through by submitting to false teachers is spiritual abuse. And I want to just let you know and validate you, you have been spiritually abused. These leaders represent God to the deceived. Deception and manipulation are characteristics of predators and narcissists who use their platforms to lead astray gullible and ignorant followers. The goal is the leader's vision. The leader's vision to use a ministry as a cash cow to benefit the leader, not the people. The vision is a front to advance the leader in his greed in many cases. Let's look at Matthew 20. I'm going to do a couple scriptures quick here. Matthew 20, 25. But Jesus called them unto him, and he said, know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. We were going to have a dominion center. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. Talks about top-down leadership, the Nicolaitans, how they use people. But it shall not be so among you. We are the called out ones. We are the ones, the bride of Christ. We are different than the world. We don't operate in the world system. We don't abuse people. In the workplaces, they'll use your talents and wear you out and get rid of you. That's not supposed to happen in church. And if you haven't had this experience, praise the Lord. There are more people that do, but a lot of people just don't even want to hear preaching anymore because they've been so hurt. They've been so wounded. And we want to get this message out to them. Send this to people that need it. Send it to people that are sidelined right now, that are Christian soldiers, that they don't want to trust again because they did trust and they got wounded. But God still has a plan for us. And what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it around if we let him. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. But as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And also in 3 John 2, in verse 9, we see an example of this. It's not new. It's been happening forever. But in verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diophantus, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Here we go. Here's the same example in the Bible. Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. They're preaching the gospel. He didn't want to have anything to do with them because he wanted to be number one. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds. What are their deeds? What kind of fruits do they have? Which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. What kind of words are they speaking? They can preach a good sermon. What are they like behind closed doors? How do they treat their wives? And not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. The good people get cast out. Welcome to persecution. Because they don't want to be confronted. They want to have preeminence. Right here it is. He put himself first. This is authoritative leaders. They love themselves. They're unaccountable. They make slaves of you. And they devour you. One last scripture. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 19 through 20. You guys can read that. I don't have time. Here it talks about fleshly leaders. What do these fleshly leaders do? They bring you into bondage. They devour you. They take of you, and they exalt themselves. Right there. Beware of a minister that exalts himself. It's almost like the king has showed up. It's the most gross feeling, and especially since I've been away from it for so long, when you can see it on, it's a spirit on some of these guys. Are you afraid of your leader? Is he full of grace, humility, compassion, and accessible and willing to answer your questions? If not, you're probably under an authoritative ruler. Information is going to be hard to find because information control is a common practice in cults. They don't want to tell you nothing. These people get divorced and don't even tell their congregations that they've divorced. You can't ask a question of why. Their primary motive is greed, 2 Peter 2:3, and they exploit you with false words. Watch out with these prophetic words. Your problem is always a lack of faith, sin, or not giving enough. These leaders are untouchable. To question them, they say, is to question God. So they say, touch not the anointed. And I say, they are not anointed. I'm going to read this. I put a bunch of collages together from Rick Becker. He's a pastor in South Africa, and he's very good with dealing with people that have left these word churches and these apostolic prophetic movements and stuff. And he said, members who leave are viewed as a potential threat because they may spill the beans. Ex-members can for the first time speak freely about what they experience and expose the false teachings of the group. Some of the reasons why people leave: they have seen contradictions in the lives of their leaders. And trust me, no leader's perfect. Everyone's got flaws, but we're talking about major things here. They saw the false teaching. They realized that what was promised was never materialized. This is not the kind of information the group or the leader would like to be made known public. Besides that, it's money walking out of the door. There's a church down the road that you're a giving unit. That's all they see you as, a giving unit. That's just terrible. And those driven by shameful gain don't like to lose faithful tithers. And first of all, if you've been a part of that, I am so sorry. The consequences of coming out of these, or if some of you are still in them, I'm dealing with some people right now that are still in this. That's why it's kind of fresh on my mind. but this traumatic experience and events, it can be mental, emotional, and physical consequences. Many folks will experience symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety attacks, palpitations, emotional detachment, nightmares, to name a few. The triggers include, get this, seeing someone from the church you've left, and they treat you so cold. They act like there's something wrong with you because you left the group. A worship song can trigger you, a place. The range of negative emotions can be debilitating. Shame, hopelessness, anger, unworthiness. Some of the consequences include grief. And I just want to say, it is grief. When you have given your whole life to a ministry and it ends badly, there's grief. It's difficult to walk away from a movement that you've invested in years of your life. And probably the most difficult of all is all the friendships that you've lost. And what was perceived as a spiritual home is gone. Disillusionment, despair, and hopelessness. This is the initial response when you realize that what you've been chasing after or dedicated yourself to is empty and false. False teachers are like waterless springs, clouds without water. 2 Peter 2:17. And then there's guilt. Guilt for falling into deception. Guilt for isolating family and friends. Guilt for contributing to a church that's deceiving people. Guilt for leading family or friends into the church, and some who are still involved. Betrayal. People you loved, trusted, and confided in turn their backs on you. And last in closing, Mephibosheth was wounded and he was crippled. But in 2 Samuel 9, this is just like us. We've been wounded, we've been abused and crippled, but Jesus came for the brokenhearted. Jesus has come for us. He has come to heal us. One of his ministries is let him restore you. Let him heal you. Let him put friends back into your life. Help us, Lord, trust again. In 2 Samuel 9, King David let Mephibosheth eat at the king's table for Jonathan's sake. He got to eat at the king's table. I don't care what you've been through, what you've done, you're still allowed to go into the presence of God. You're still allowed real true fellowship with the Lord, right? He was lame on both feet in verse 13, eating at the king's table as one of the king's sons. Like Joseph said to his brothers that betrayed him, and you know the story of Joseph, we won't go there. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Genesis 50:20, to keep many people alive in the famine. Everything that their brothers did, God turned it around, and Joseph kept people alive in that famine. Today we have a famine of the Word of God, and God can take the abuse and the hurt to help others. And that's what we're trying to do here. The abuse, the hurt, the brokenness that we've experienced, we want to validate you. What you have been through is real. Should have not happened to us, but it did happen. So now we pray that God will use it for his glory, that we can help somebody else. And that's the whole thing. Our journeys are different, but our whole journey is here to serve the Lord and to serve people. So Father, we thank you for all things to turn and to work together for the good, and us to help people that you've sent in our path with the information and the lives we have lived to help others, not to hurt others, not to condemn others or to shame them for being in these movements, but to help them come through the storm. And we thank you, Father, that we have the Holy Spirit to help us. We thank you for bringing us out of deception and keeping us out of deception. And help the people that are listening to this YouTube, and help them share with other people that are wounded and hurt and have been betrayed when we're following man's system and really not God's systems. Help us all, in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said? Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website. where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time. Yeah.